Thanks for being with us for hour number three from the Walnut Grill in Wexford. And it has been a blast today. It has been really fun. We've had a great lineup of guests, and that continues now as Mike Culligan, correspondent for the Hockey Writers. You can find his work also at MikeCulligan.com. Joins us on the Trip Total Media Hotline. Mike, I appreciate you taking the time for us here as we get ready for a little playoff action.
Yeah, certainly an exciting night last night, night number one in the NHL, and I think three of the road teams coming away with victory, and I think even the New York Islanders and Washington Capitals, not many people giving the Islanders much of a chance with them limping into the playoffs, but we saw them just put on a clinic last night. I think a very impressive win for them, so I think when it comes to the playoffs, certainly just about anything can happen.
Mike, I don't know if you got a chance to hear my chat with EJ Raddick, but we were talking about that. We were talking about the fact that seven of the goalies out of the 16, seven of the number ones, had no playoff experience. I asked EJ, of the eight teams who played last night, who was the most either impressive or disappointing, and he went right there with the Capitals as the most disappointing. Who was the most impressive for you last night?
I think the Islanders are right there for me. When I watched, a big, good portion of that game, the Islanders were a team that I felt looked as bad as the Penguins the last few weeks. They couldn't get out of their own zone. They looked like a mess, in all facets of the ice. And Yaroslav Halak was playing up and down, but they were a team that was clicking on all cylinders last night. And I think what's impressed me the most about the Islanders is their coaching. And they've got a Jack Capuano's kind of lived through the doldrums of the New York Islanders, and now they're on the upswing as they head to Brooklyn next year, and I think we'll have some more money to spend as far as building a competitive roster and taking this franchise to the next level. But Capuano is really impressing me with the way that he's able to pick apart some of these teams. I've seen him do it to Pittsburgh over the last couple of years, and I saw it last night with the Washington Capitals. But the interesting thing now is this is a seven-game series, and I think with the Capitals having Barry Trotz behind the bench, that's probably not going to continue. And so that's where the chess map starts to appear in some of these seven-game series as coaches trade chances and trade systems back and forth here, starting to match lines as they get home ice advantage and have that opportunity as well.
Well, let's go right there then, because I want to get into the X's and O's with you, and let's start with the coaches. Alain Vigneault, I think, coached 103 playoff games. It'll be Mike Johnston's first playoff appearance. When you look at this, is there a decided advantage for Vigneault?
Absolutely. I think just like a goalie that's appearing in his first playoff game and doesn't know what he's expecting as far as that goes, it's Mike Johnston's first time through this, and quite frankly, he's learning on the job at this point, and I think that's a tough spot to be in with all the pressure on the Penguins, especially now, even as an underdog, having that spotlight on them up against a Rangers team that I think is very deep, not a good matchup even for a healthy Penguins team. But then you look at this roster and what the Penguins have to start the playoffs here, not as an encouraging sign for Johnston, but I think we really don't know what to expect from him at this point. We've seen what he's done throughout the season. We've seen some of the adjustments that he's made as this has gone along, but we haven't seen him in this chance. So I think it's fair to only give him an opportunity to prove himself and see what he does against the New York Rangers.
Yeah, Mike, when we talked last week, we talked a bit about the Penguin system, but let's talk a little bit more specifically in general terms, kind of 30,000 feet terms, about the job that you thought Mike Johnston did with the personnel, with the injuries, and just kind of making choices about matchups, making choices about changing things along on the fly during games. What did you think of his performance in general?
Well, I thought he did pretty well. I think it was a good performance for a first-time head coach in the NHL, and I think the easiest way is to maybe compare him to Dan Bylsma and what was different. I think both coaches approached this roster pretty much the same way, and that being wanting to play an up-tempo style of hockey, utilizing the talent and the speed that the Penguins have. I mean, that's the core of this roster. When you're talking about Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin, those are guys that aren't going to get into physical battles, and so you've got to cater to that top-end talent. But I think where Johnston differed a bit is he didn't stretch the ice the way that Dan Bylsma did. He was more about that. I would say while it was aggressive hockey, it was patient, it was puck possession, it was not making overly risky passes. We saw so much of those long stretch passes under Dan Bylsma. The key to that is it puts an opposing team on their heels. It's tough to defend against that when you've got such a quick transition opportunity from the Penguins from that back end. But the problem is you've got a lot of low percentage passes as well. Mike Johnston insisted on shorter, high percentage passes, maybe a higher volume of passes, and supporting the puck a lot more, getting more guys on the same side of the ice, not spreading out as much and coming up as a group through the zone. And I think that certainly worked for a while. I think it gave the Penguins a lot of their success early in the season. The problem being, as coaches started to figure that out, I think Johnston struggled a bit as far as finding his next phase as far as a head coach goes. And that's always a challenge as you start to get figured out and teams start to scout, especially in this age with so much film and breakdown and opportunities to really scout opposing teams. Once you're figured out, you've got to come up with something new, and that's what some of the great coaches like Mike Babcock and Vigneault and the likes are able to do year after year after year.
So let's talk about, let's start with the Penguins have the puck. We're in a 5-on-5 situation. The Rangers are going to play a pretty straightforward 1-2-2 forecheck. Does it matter for the Rangers which forward is forechecking, or will it be the guy deepest in the zone?
Yeah, always usually the first guy in the zone, but he's going to pressure the Penguins. And I think while it's a 1-2-2 forecheck, which you see a lot of teams running, you know, the Penguins run that a good bit, that can vary quite a bit in how it looks. So it can be a very conservative trap that, you know, you hear about the dreaded trap in the neutral zone. Teams can have a 1-2-2 that stretches all the way back to their own goal. Or that can be a very aggressive 1-2-2 trap where you've got one guy forcing the defenseman and then two layers of pairs behind that waiting for turnovers, waiting for first pass opportunities to jump on those guys and pressure them. I think the Rangers are going to be aggressive, and I think that's because the Penguins have such little depth on the back end. They've got some guys that are pretty inexperienced in Taylor Chorney and Ian Cole and Brian Dumoulin drawing in tonight in his playoff debut. If I'm the Rangers, I put pressure on those guys, and I try to force turnovers from that perspective. So I think that's where we'll see the Rangers really step up that forecheck and try to get in the Penguins' face as much as they can.
And with not having Chris Letang, not having his ability to skate the puck out of trouble oftentimes, if you're the Rangers, are you going to be dumping the puck in and hitting guys and trying to pick, you know, whichever guy in the pairing you want to handle the puck or not?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you definitely target certain defensemen at the NHL level where you look at who's out there. I think Rob Scuderi is an obvious guy where he's a little bit slower going back, and even when he does get back to the puck, he doesn't have even a lot of confidence in himself. And so there's opportunities he has where he can make a play, he can turn around and make that first breakout pass, which is so key to having a clean breakout. But he doesn't have faith in himself sometimes, and so he'll just throw the puck around the boards, and oftentimes that's either a very tough pass for a winger to catch on a breakout, or it's just that you've got a guy bearing down on you that it becomes very difficult to do anything with it. And I think the surprising guy that I've seen doing exactly the same thing is Ben Lovejoy. He's a guy that's got a ton of speed still. You know, he can play the NHL game. He's got the experience. But he's doing a lot of those same panic plays. And I think if those two guys, such important pieces of this current Penguins defense, are making panic plays under pressure, and we know that playoff hockey is another level up as far as intensity and speed, that's my biggest concern as far as the Penguins go. And if I'm the New York Rangers, I'm certainly putting a lot of pressure on those guys in those situations.
We're talking with Mike Culligan of Hockey Writers and MikeCulligan.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Mike Culligan. Mike, am I right in saying that Alain Vigneault, just in terms of a style, that he likes to overload the ice both in the offensive zone and the defensive zone to play aggressively in that respect?
You're right on the money. I think that's one area that'll be interesting for me as we get into this first game, and I think it's up to Mike Johnston to come up with something a little bit creative and different. You know, I just talked about how the Penguins like to play that puck possession and support style of hockey. But with the Rangers crowding on one side of the ice, especially once they sense an opportunity to create a turnover, I think the real opportunity for the Penguins is going to be stretching the ice, maybe sneaking a guy behind the defense, maybe all the way across the ice. If you could just throw it to an area and have guys use their speed like Crosby and like you know, some of the other speedy forwards that they have out there, that could be a chance for them to catch the Rangers off on their toes a little bit too much. And especially if the Rangers are coming in a little confident in the series, I think they're going to go for the kill early. And so if you have a chance, especially on the road, to maybe grab a surprising goal or two, that could change the complexion of this game and obviously the series as well.
One of the things that EJ was speaking about when he talked about winning the series, of course, we know the importance of goaltending in the playoffs, and he was suggesting Marc-Andre Fleury hold the puck on occasion. He said it's something that, you know, a guy like Tom Barrasso was very capable of doing, and he would pick his times and he would do it very well. He was suggesting Fleury do some of that because just to slow the game down. So let me ask you the larger question. When the Rangers have the puck and the Penguins are defending in a 5-on-5 situation, how aggressively do you expect them to forecheck and pressure one side of the ice, or do they play a more relaxed, conservative style, let the Rangers bring the puck out of the zone?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting because one weakness I've seen of Fleury in the playoff has been his over-anxiousness. I think we saw it a lot more when he was a younger goaltender and didn't have the experience. But he still gets so excited for these games, I think. And what they've done very well with him, and Mike Bales, the new goaltending coach, has, I think, really reinvented his style. But they've gotten him to play a very quiet, conservative style of goaltending. He still utilizes his athleticness when he needs to and needs to make a last second save, but he's a much more conservative style of goaltender. But the problem is, as you get into the playoffs and he gets excited again, where he can really lose himself is if he starts overcommitting. And what happens, I've seen the Rangers do this year, where they'll take a fake shot, especially in the power play, and a guy like Martin St. Louis coming off the boards takes a fake shot, gets Fleury to go down and far out of his crease, and then you've got an easy cross-ice pass for a goal. And so I would keep an eye on that as this game starts, see where Fleury's at from a kind of excitedness perspective, and then I think it's up to the Penguins to make sure those cross-ice passes can't go through, because if Fleury's overcommitting and they're allowing the Rangers to kind of pick them apart side to side, that's a recipe for disaster for this Penguins team.
Yeah, and you know, we saw that in that Islander series a couple years ago when Fleury would go side to side, he'd get outside the pipe or pucks off the backboards. He had trouble with. But so in terms of what you expect Mike Johnson in terms of the forecheck, do you expect him to lay back, or do you expect him to, you know, send that first forward in and try to aggressively hit their defenseman and play much like the Rangers would play?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I'll be honest, I have no idea what Mike Johnson and how he approaches these types of series. I've thought more and more about maybe the Penguins' best chance in this series with a roster that I don't think stacks up against the Rangers is maybe to play defensive, and maybe you just play conservative, especially if you're on the road and you know that you've got the potential with a power play that at least in the first half of the season was very deadly. Maybe you wait for your power play opportunities and try to cash in there and get up on a lead on the Rangers. So that's one way to do it. And I think the other way is to just really pressure the Rangers and see what you can do and see if you can match speed for speed. But the one caution I would have with that is the Rangers are very quick on the transition. If you have a turnover and you don't have guys back and you've got your defensemen pinching in on the offense, like we've seen quite a bit with Mike Johnson's teams this year, that's a concern with this Rangers team because they're so deadly. They've got three really good offensive lines that I think could give the Penguins trouble, and especially that third line. It's going to be Kevin Hayes, Martin St. Louis, and Carl Hagelin. I don't know what the Penguins do in that case as far as the matchup's concerned, because when you consider the Penguins' third pair of D is Brian Dumoulin and Taylor Chorney, that's not a matchup that's very ideal. We saw what Martin St. Louis did a couple years ago when he's with Tampa against the Penguins' third pair of defensemen. That would be my biggest concern from a matchup perspective in this series.
Hey, Mike, would you be willing to stay through the break and we'll get into some more of the personnel for the next segment?
Yeah, absolutely, sure.
Fantastic. Thank you. We're going to come right back. We're at the Walnut Grill in Wexford, getting into the X's and O's, what you should expect to see on the ice tonight. Game one, Penguins-Rangers. David Todd, 970 ESPN.
Now back to more hockey talk live from the Walnut Grill from Miller Lite, 84 Lumber, where your project is our project. And Nemacolin Woodlands Resort. Expect the unexpected. And the home of the Penguins, 970 ESPN.
We're at the Walnut Grill in Wexford, and I'm talking to NHL analyst Mike Culligan, whose work you can find at the Hockey Writers and at CulliganHockey.com. That's C-O-L-L-I-G-A-N Hockey.com. Mike, thanks for staying with us. Now, when we get into kind of the personnel and what Vigneault's going to want to do, having the last change in the first two games of the series, is it safe to say that you expect to see McDonagh and Girardi out there against Sid's line 99% of the time?
I would think against Sidney Crosby that makes sense, especially of Evgeny Malkin not 100%. That's probably the preferred matchup. And I think when you look at the Rangers, though, they've got three pairs of defensemen. I'm assuming Kevin Klein will be back shortly. He's One of the more underrated defensemen that they have. He's going to miss tonight's game with a broken wrist. He's been out the last few weeks. But when they've got him, that top pairing is like you said, Girardi and McDonough. You've got a second pair that includes Klein and Staal, I believe, and then you've got Keith Yandle and Dan Boyle on the third pair. I mean, Keith Yandle was the top defenseman in Phoenix for so long, and so to see him on a third pair is just incredible. But I think what that does is it gives Vigneault the luxury of being comfortable with any of those lines going out against Sidney Crosby. I think they're all capable in their own right. The Yandle and Boyle pair may be a little bit susceptible because they're so focused on more of the offensive side of the game, but I think when you have that depth, it's a nice thing when you get into the playoffs. I think the Rangers are also just about as healthy as any team out there right now, and certainly much more than the Penguins. So at this point, I think that gives them an advantage, and I think up front as well, they're going to want the big bodies up against Sidney Crosby as much as they can. We saw what they did last year as they turned that series around and really started to take it to Sidney Crosby and the Penguins throughout that comeback from 3-1, and so I think we'll see a lot more of the same as we get into that game tonight.
If he has his druthers, which of the forward lines do you think he wants out there against Sid? Because I would imagine if Mike Johnson had his way, I actually don't know how Mike Johnson would actually want to match these lines up if he had the choice. I'll be very interested in Game 3 to see how he does it. But what do you think Vigneault would like?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have Brandon Dubinsky, and he was the guy that was really the thorn in Crosby's side last year. I really think I think any of the first two lines are fine. I think Rick Nash is a much different player this year. And last year, you know, the big storyline being that he struggled. I think he only had 3 goals on about 85 shots throughout that entire playoff run. But that was a different Rick Nash. He was a guy that was coming off a concussion, really was not himself the entire season. But this year, I think, is much different. And I think we'll see the scoring be much different from that perspective as well. He may have had 1 point against the Penguins last year, and so I think he was a non-factor that will be a different story this year. So I think if you're dictating the play, that's the thing, is we always think of line matching as kind of a defensive strategy, but I think when you're a team like the Rangers and you've got the advantage, I would dictate the play and say, hey, you know what, we've got the depth to go any matchup. We're going to roll our lines, and then it's up to you to match and go from there. And so I think that's where Mike Johnson's been a little bit different from Dan Bylsma. Bylsma seemed to be the guy that was pretty ignorant to the line matching, and not being a criticism by any means. But he said, hey, you know what? We've got the talent. You figure out a way to shut us down. Johnson's been a little bit more cognizant of matchups and trying to make sure that he has at least the right guys out there and not the really disaster matchup that has the potential to turn a playoff game.
Mike, great insights. Reading your work and listening to you, I mean, look, it's the NHL and the playoffs. We all know that any team has a chance, but it sounds like you feel like the Rangers are, I don't want to say necessarily overwhelming, but it's the word that's coming to mind, an overwhelming favorite here.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I think it's a tough matchup for even a healthy Penguins team at this point, and it was one that, as I looked about a month out and said, you know what, if the Penguins get the Rangers or the Capitals in the first round, that's going to be a tough one. This is not even a healthy Penguins team, and so that's a disappointing road for them if they need to make it through that just to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think the best thing for them would have been to get over to that other division and the other wild card spot and play the Montreal Canadiens. I think even this current version of the Penguins could have given the Canadians a run. All they would have had to do was find a way to score a couple goals on Carey Price, and I think they would have matched up very well against them. But obviously that isn't how it happened, and so we need to see what happens tonight. I think if the Penguins can steal Game 1 on the road, that maybe changes the complexion of the series, because now you've got a different dynamic where the Rangers start to doubt themselves a little bit and think twice, and so it gives the Penguins at least a fighting chance, especially from their perspective, where maybe they're going in knowing they're the underdog. So I think that the Rangers are able to grab a couple on home ice and then head to Pittsburgh with a 2-0 lead, this could be a pretty quick series. So that's why this game one is going to be a pretty important one tonight.
Mike, great insights. I really appreciate you sticking around. We'll look forward to your coverage and talking to you again soon.
Sounds good, David. Enjoy the game.
Okay, Mike Culligan, hockey writers, culliganhockey.com.